Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see so many here. There was a little confusion about who was going to teach, so you're going to get what you're going to get, okay? Title of our lesson today is The Glory of God, and this is the perfect season that we're in to reflect just how much the glory of God means to all of us, how much it improves our lives. You know, it just makes us better. It makes us want to be better, doesn't it? Okay, let's ask God to guide us, if we will. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, dear Lord, but most of all, we thank you for this season. We thank you for the precious gift of your Son that you sent us, dear Lord, and we just can never do enough to... Well, we can earn favor with you, dear Lord, but we just pray that that's always in our heart, that we want to strive to be better, to be the best that we can be, because that is a good reflection on you, dear Lord. We ask you to go with us as we go through this lesson. May everything that we say and do be to your glory and to build up your kingdom and to bring others to you, dear Lord, because we know that there are a lot of openings in your choir. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The glory of God. Okay, so we're back in the Old Testament again, and when we think about Exodus, what do we think about? What's the first thing that comes to our mind?
Traveling.
What did you say, Mimi?
Leaving.
They were getting out of Dodge, weren't they? But how did they get to that point? They had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And they kept crying out to God and crying out to God. And finally he sent who?
Moses.
He sent Moses to deliver this people from the horrible circumstances that they were under. A life of slavery, which, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, I'm his slave or she's my slave, but we got no idea. When you're a slave, you have absolutely no rights. People don't care about your feelings, okay? You're totally subject to somebody else, to someone else's will. And that is an overwhelming feeling sometimes. Now, did these people deserve to be rescued? To be rescued? Have they done anything to prove their value yet? No. Moses actually refers to them as that stiff-necked people, which means what? Hard-headed, not easily controlled, okay? That was the people that God chose to save. And we still have, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in Israel nowadays, in the news and everything, but we still have people among us who don't understand why the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, all we have to know is God said it. I choose these people, and I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. You may go through trials. You may go through temptations, but I am your God, and you are my people. So we are in Exodus. Something has just happened here that kind of brings us to the point of where we are. Of course, he took them out of Egypt. What was the first big thing that happened?
Red Sea.
Parted the Red Sea. All of the Israelites went through on dry ground. When the Egyptians started following them through, what happened? The water went back over. They ended up in the mud, and I don't think there was a survivor. I've never been able to read that there was a survivor. So the Lord took out all of Pharaoh's army. Just with that one thing, with just that one motion. Well, you would think that that would make these people say, oh my gosh, just look what God has done for us. We are truly a blessed people. However, not too far down the road, they're camped out at the base of Mount Sinai, and the Lord summons Moses up to the mountain to have a chat with him. And while Moses is gone, what happens?
They talk to Aaron.
They go back to their old ways.
Yeah, and they did. What was the main thing that they did?
They
made the gold. They gathered up gold from all of the people there in the camp, melted it down, and made an idol of a golden calf because they thought they physically needed something that to worship that they could see. Okay, so Moses comes down from the mountain. He sees what they've done, and he immediately starts to plead with God to spare this people. He said, God, you know they're a stiff-necked people, and you know that they're going astray, but I beg you on their behalf to spare them. So that's where we are now, and Moses is still asking God to show him things. And some of them, in our lesson, it refers to them as astonishing request. Astonishing. 1, 2, and 3, and then the inherent limitations for Moses. So the first astonishing request was, all right, let's read, let me see which one it was. Verse 12. Thank you. Somebody, please.
And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight.
Okay. So Moses knows that he's a little bit favored by God, right? Because God sent him to rescue these people. But Moses is wanting to know, bring these people up, and you're going to say, I know thee by name and have found grace in my sight. That's what he's telling Moses. I know thee by name. So Moses is pleading here. He wants to know if he had really found favor in the sight of God, was God going to spare these people from any circumstances or retribution for what they just done, for just making this golden calf? So he says, if I have found sight, favor in your sight, you picked me to lead these people out, and if I have any favor at all for you, will you spare this people? That's what Moses is pleading for. He's asking for that. Well, we ask for that every day, don't we?
But that's what I'm sitting here. Do we really do that? I mean, Moses knew how offensive they were, and we know how offensive others can be towards God today. Do we really beg him to spare those people?
And the hardest person to pray for is the person who has physically mistreated or abused you.
Yes.
I say physically, it could even be emotionally. But those are the hardest people to pray for. Yet, the Lord tells us, pray for everyone. And I'll heap, what is it? I think that's in the New Testament.
Coals of fire.
Yeah. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That, as our human side, is hard for us to do. It's really hard.
And, like I have heard so many times, you pray for your enemies and heap coals of fire on them, and I think, okay.
Sounds like that might work.
Wrong attitude.
That sounds like that might work.
I do. That's terrible. So, but do we really pray for the people for forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
The only one that can determine that, if you're sincere,
yes,
is the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he knows a sincere prayer, and he knows one that is just offered because of, I got to say 50 words. Okay.
Yeah.
My limit is 50 words, so I'm going to do this, this, and this. But God knows the heart. You can say it in 2 or 3 words. Father, forgive them. So that's it. That's as easy as it is, if you sincerely mean it.
And these were supposed to be God's chosen people, too, and everything that had happened so far. He was probably saying, well, this is just going to keep happening. God want to
right.
save these people
uh-huh.
to start with. So he was wanting that assurance,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. What assurances do we have?
Faith.
Faith. We're going through the season right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this all happened before Christ. But not just for the Jews, but for everyone, God knew we needed a Redeemer. Mm-hmm. And that's why Christ was sent. He was sent for us. For no other reason. He was sent for me. Because there's not a day go by that I don't sin. And if anybody in here tells me they do, gotta call you a word. But, you know, it's just life happens. And the hardest thing for me is traffic. Okay?
Yes.
It is really hard to keep your cool sometimes when you're driving. That's a perfect example. That's when we get in that car, we ought to say, God, I don't want you to be my co-pilot. You can be the pilot. We got to give up that. We got to give up that little bit of power over us. And sometimes we don't. But I think traffic is a trying situation, especially this time of year. If you've been to East Point or anywhere out there, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Moses wanted the Lord to show him just how merciful he planned to be to this people. So that was what he said. He said, show me your glory. Show me how you're going to do this. And why did Moses think that he deserved to know this?
He was the leader of the people.
He'd been faithful, hadn't he?
Yes.
He had been faithful to do what God had called him to do. So he thought, yeah, you know, I'm working for you. I'm doing this. So give me a little bit of inside scoop here. He wanted the security clearance that only God could render. That's what Moses was asking.
And then he also needed to know that God was going to do this, so he'd go in the direction they needed to go.
To toe the line, yeah. I heard Pastor Hagee preached a sermon one time, and he was preaching about these people coming out of Israel. And he said something would happen, and they would sin, and he said, take another lap around the mountain. And they did that for, what, 40 years? Take another lap around the mountain, because they were Moses said in the beginning, a stiff-necked people. We've met a few people like that, haven't we? Yeah. All right.
Moses, he knew that in the end, in Israel, they would have never, they didn't make it to the...
A lot of them didn't, yeah.
But anyways, they would have, in the end, just been like any other
people.
There
wouldn't
be no
other people, yeah. And what was the promise he made to Abraham? Your descendants will be more than the... You won't be able to count them. The grains of sand on the seashore, they're going to be so many. Well, at this time, there were probably... I think I read somewhere that there was like 5 million people. When they went into Egypt, there was 72, 73... And when they came out, there was like 5 million. So they had reproduced a lot in that 400 years that they were there. And back at that time, actually, they really only counted the men. So, you know, a million men, and then the women and children, they said probably made a total of 5 million. But that's a lot of people out there wandering around in the desert looking for a leader, which we know was Moses. All right, so... that was verse 12. How about, will somebody read 13?
Now therefore I pray thee, if in thy sight, show me now the way in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people.
So that's an earnest plea, isn't it? That is what you would say a prayer. Say, God, show me thy way. If I have found grace, show me. And then what happens when he shows Moses? Then Moses hopes to disperse that to the rest of the people, or to get that known to the rest of the people that, hey, God has shown me this, and this is the way it's going to be. He said, because this nation is thy people. This nation is thy people. The nation meaning the people of Israel. Okay. Everybody good so far? Okay, let's go to the second astonishing request. If somebody will read, 14 through 16.
And he said,
Hey, How did they know that God's presence was with them? What sign was there?
A fire and a cloud.
Fire by night, cloud by day. They were covered with the presence of the Lord. So that was the sign that they had that God gave them. And he says, I need to know that you're going to go with us, that you're going to carry us forward. Well, we know from other lessons that we've had here, not too far in the past, recent past, how that they had different obstacles come upon them, that there was, as they were in the desert here for 40 years, there was things that happened and the earth opened up and swallowed up a bunch of people. So we read, I think I'm correct on this, that out of all of these generations that came out of Egypt, there were none but Joshua and Caleb that actually made it into the promised land. Moses wasn't even allowed to go. Why?
Because he dropped the rock.
Because he disobeyed God. Yeah, so God says, I'm not going to let you go. So if he would not let Moses go, whom he had favored, whom he had chosen to lead this people, how did these other people ever expect to make it? They were counting on the glory of God. They were counting on the glory of God to get them into this promised land. If God was not with these people, if he was not directing these people, then what was it about them to separate them from everybody else? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing.
God's favor totally is what kept them different. It kept them different from the rest of the peoples. Okay. Moses' second astonishing request, that as a holy God would have so much mercy upon a stiff-necked people that he would go up with them to the promised land and thereby make them distinct among all the peoples of the earth. So Moses is saying, okay, I know that you have picked these people to be your people. If I do not have your assurance that you're going to go up with us, then how are we going to be separated from everybody? So that is this second request. That's what Moses is wanting. He says, I just need, show me your sign. I just need to know that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Now, is he questioning God here? Or is he just simply asking for reassurance?
Yeah, he's asking for a deeper personal knowledge.
Yeah, okay. Well, where was Moses when God called him? He was tending sheep for his father-in-law. He'd left Egypt. Is there a town there, or was it just all Egypt? Where did the Pharaoh live? Anyway, I don't know if it was called a town or whatever. But he left because what? Why did he leave?
Because he killed the Egyptian.
He killed the Egyptian who was mistreating a slave. So then he thought he got away with it. Well, then the next day he's out among the people again and something happens and one of the Israelites said, are you going to kill this man like you did the one yesterday? And Moses thought, oh my gosh, somebody saw me do that? I better get out of town. So he did. He left and he went out into the desert and came upon this Midianite and he tended his sheep, married his daughter, had children. And how many years had Moses been gone? Does anybody remember?
40 years.
Everything's in 40s, isn't it? 40 years he was out there. And God spoke to him how? Fire?
Burning bush,
yeah. And he told Moses what he wanted him to do, that he wanted him to deliver these people. And he told Moses at the time that he was there in this near this burning bush, he said, what? Take off your shoes. The ground on which you're standing is holy ground. So even though Moses had been picked, he still had limitations, didn't he? There were still barriers.
Well, Moses tried to get out of it.
Oh, yeah.
His speaker.
Yeah, yeah. Right. He made excuses, didn't he? He says, well, I'm slow of speech, and I'm not really good at stuff like this. But God said, you're the one, and I'll give you help. Isn't that what he tells us every day? He doesn't tell us that I've put you in this world and you're out here all by yourself. I'm going to send people to help you. And that's why we're all here. That's why we're all here together as a family. God sends us to help one another. And sometimes we don't always recognize it, but it's there. We have to let our feelings go sometimes, don't we? And sometimes we tend to be a little reserved. But God wants us to be bold. He wants us to be bold witnesses. The hardest thing I have, personally, is inviting somebody to church. And that's something I need to get over. Because there's a lot of people around here that need to be invited to church. And if they're not here, it's probably because I didn't ask them. Or it's probably because you didn't ask them. Or you didn't ask them. You know what I mean? We're all in this together. We're all in this together. Okay. Where are we? That was the second request. All right. So for the third request, will somebody read 17 and 18? Okay. So this is, to me, this is hard to get through because when it says he said and he said, so you have to determine, is this where God is the he that's talking, or is this where Moses is the he that's talking? And it really gets kind of confusing. But the Lord said to Moses, I'll do this thing, for you have found grace in my sight. He told Moses this. And he said, I know your what?
I know your name.
Does he know all of our names?
Yeah.
He does, yeah. Sometimes I have trouble remembering my own, but I'm rest assured that God knows my name.
And he knows it the first time. Doesn't
have to have a hint.
He doesn't have to start at the top and come down.
Well, that's what I said. Jennifer named all of her kids beginning with T, and it gets kind of tedious sometimes. Do you go through the whole list?
Yeah, even knows our new name when we get to heaven.
Yeah, that's all right. We do have a new name, a new name in glory. So then he asked God, he says, show me your glory. This is, to me, the most astonishing of all the requests. Moses is still, even though he's been through everything that he's been through, he still needs some reassuring, don't he? Do we ever get to the point that we are so secure in our faith that we don't need a little boost? No, we all do. And if you say you don't, then you're probably in a constant state of denial, okay? We all need that little boost from sometimes. So when Moses was asking God to show him his glory, what do you think he was asking for? Did he really want to see him? Did he just want to feel him? What was he really asking for?
I don't think he really wanted to see his face, yeah. His promise.
Well, this is what I said a while ago about a security clearance. There were only certain, people that could be in this circle. And right now, the only two people in the circle were who? God and Moses. And Moses wanted a security clearance so that he wanted to see more of God.
Understanding.
Yeah.
Yes. But we'll never see all that glory until we get to
heaven. That's right. And you can't even fathom that. I mean, we've heard stories, we've seen artist renderings of pictures, but until we get there, we'll never fully understand the glory that is waiting for us in heaven.
Think back to when she was getting ready to leave us.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sitting at the table and Jean was sitting with her. And she kept looking at the ceiling going, isn't that just beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just beautiful? That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And all he could see was
the ceiling. Yeah.
But she was already seeing through the pearly gates.
Yeah, that's happened a lot, but I do remember that with Aunt Jean. Yes, I do. Okay, so Moses wanted, like Diane said, a deeper understanding of the nature of God and the essence of God. Because Moses said, this is a stiff-necked people. They will not always do what you want them to do. I need your assurance that you're still going to bless them, that you're going to honor them, that you're going to take care of them. That's what Moses is asking for.
I think Moses was thinking, mm-hmm. as long as they yeah. were where they were and the way that they were,
well, look around us.
Yes.
Don't we have those feelings every day?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It shows us what little faith we have, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. We're tested every day, aren't we? What is it about God's nature that made him promise to the Jewish people that he would take care of them? What is it about his nature?
He loves us,
but his nature tells us what? He's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. That was our last whole quarter. He's always there, he's all-powerful, and he knows everything. That's the nature of God. That's the total nature of God. And Moses was saying, I need to be able to see this. I need the people to be able to see this. Do you think he was asking for a miracle? Do you think he was asking, you know, like the burning bush and different things that he had done? You think he was asking for a sign?
I think he was, because I had to be able to prove to these stiff-necked people,
mm-hmm.
you know, there had to be something he could point to,
right,
and say, this is God. And he's still with us.
Well, the thing of it too, you know, they had been in Egypt for 400 years. And they had been subjected to what? All kinds of pagan gods, false gods. And you know, whatever, something happened back then, they always gave this god so-and-so credit for it. Or, you know, they did something like that. But the God of heaven and earth, our God, probably was not premier in the people's minds when they were in this captivity, this captive situation. So he wanted him to show these people that, yeah, I know you were there for 400 years, but I got you out. I got you out. And all I'm asking for is your faith and your loyalty. That's all I'm asking for.
And they just, like you said, they had just, mm-hmm. and so Moses is saying, I need to be able to show mm-hmm. that,
yeah.
So that they will know that you're there. We don't have a golden. Right. We need to be able to show them something.
Now, that whole golden calf thing was because of the fact that they had been in Egypt and they worshipped idols.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, they wanted something they could see.
I think it's 1 Corinthians 3:18. We'll tell you.
And see? Unseen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, how about verse 19? Somebody, please.
And he said,
but what's he telling Moses here? I'm in control. I'm in control. I'm going to be there. I'm going to pass before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Aren't we all dependent on the mercy of God? There's not a day goes by that we don't depend on the mercy of God to see us through something. We don't all face the same trials. We don't all face the same temptations. But we all face something. Every day.
We all need his grace and we all need his mercy.
We do. Okay, how about, we're up to the inherent limitations for Moses. If somebody will read, and just read the rest of it, please. 22-23.
And he said, that
you've seen. Okay, so the limitations for Moses is what?
He can't, and we can't.
That's right. He cannot look upon the face of God and live. But God gives him a way, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He said, well, wait a minute. How about if you go up on this rock, and then I'll put you in this little cleft, in this little sunken place, and I'll pass by, and after I pass by, you can see my back, but you can't see my face. So is he given Moses a way to experience his glory without actually seeing? Okay.
And God said, I'm going to put my hand over you, because I'm going to cover you as I pass by.
Okay. But
so that Moses could not actually look at him.
Does he do this to us every day?
Every day.
Every day, do we look on the face of God, or do we just revel in the glory of God?
This also is a...
Okay.
He's the image of the...
Mm-hmm. In other words, we must die to live.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but that's the whole thing. When he sent Jesus, he was not hidden, was he? He was right out there for the people to see. And what did he tell his disciples? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. We don't think that God actually had a... I don't think. You can have your own opinion. But I don't think that God actually had a physical body. He was a spiritual being, a spiritual essence. That's why no one could look on his face. And another thing, if you look on his face, then you can see what's coming, right? Can you tell a person what they're thinking by the look on their face?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Most of the time. Mothers always know. Mothers always know. But that's what he's saying. He says, if you look on my face, then you'll know all about me. I have to have some mystery. You know, I will shew you all mysteries. I have to have a mysterious side to make people want to check me out. Okay? I have to have that mysterious side. If everything was overt and open, would we look for anything?
No.
No. We would take it for granted, just like we do most things around us. So I think this is another reason that you can't look on the face of God, because there has to be a certain mystery to all of it. But you know what we have that the people of this period didn't have? We have the Word of God. And we can go look up whenever we're thinking that we have a question that we can't answer, or that there's something that comes up in life and you just can't figure out what it is. The answers are in the Bible. We may not always know where to look, but when you start in there, you may find something that you'd forgotten was there. And then that leads you to look for something else. And that leads you to look for something else. And before you know it, you've been in the Word for an hour, and it's like one thing just leads to another, to another, to another. That's what the Word of God's like. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to seek Him out and just go one to one to one to one. That's our whole purpose.
You know, the rock that pictured Christ, he was put in Christ before God could go by.
Okay.
So we have to be put in Christ before we can really see the glory of God.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, and that's another thing we have that these people didn't have. Of course, they had the glory of God all around them, the fire and the cloud. But we have Christ. We have Christ. And it's just such a miracle. Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments about the lesson? It was a pretty good lesson, I thought. Okay. The golden text today. And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." If you were threatened that something, you were about to do something, and this verse came to your mind, "You cannot see me and live," would you stop? I mean, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Would I stop if God told me that I do this and I'm going to die? Would we stop? We can pray to God to give us the strength to stop. But that's only a question that each individual can ask. Will you really stop if you have this threat? Is it a threat or is it a promise? It's all in how you look at it, right? Okay.
Practical. When I look at this, knowing it's Old Testament, and often it happens, Jesus comes, we walk with him for 30 years, watch him teach. We look upon his face all the time. Never do I think, never do I, always searching for the face of God, you know? And just the difference in what God has done, covenant and the new covenant, where he's with us, he's among us, and we can look upon him anytime we want.
That's right, it's the assurance we have, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, I mean, he is in us. I mean, the Holy Spirit is there. When you hear that,
well,
that I am God, that still small voice.
We are not the chosen people.
No, we're the Gentiles.
But we are a blessed people.
We were granted. But we are chosen.
Yeah.
We really are chosen too, I think. To me, I feel like we are chosen because who would accept him? Who wouldn't accept
When you got up this morning, you had two choices.
Yes.
Go to church or roll over.
Yes.
So what did you do? You went to church. Isn't that great?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We got some practical points.
We need a mission to reconcile us to God.
We do.
Yes, we do. God's presence gives the church.
Indwelling Holy Spirit assures us that we are.
Very good, Debbie, yeah. We find favor in God's sight because our mediator, Jesus Christ, has found favor in his sight.
God wants us to make bold requests.
There will always be more than one.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Good job, darling.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.